All right. Welcome back to Life in Games. I'm your host, Andy Reinhold, and this is Just Tactics, where I ask people how to get into the game industry when starting from zero. Since this is the first Just Tactics, I wanted to briefly explain what's going on here. As you just heard in the first episode, Life in Games is the show where I share the journeys of amazing people who have found their own homes in gaming. And maybe one day, both you and I can do it too. I know I've read that line so many times. I should have it memorized by now. Anyway, each story is shared in this narrative form that I hope you enjoyed if you listened to the first episode. But during the process of interviewing my guests, there was just so much great and valuable information that they gave me, I just needed to share it somehow. And that's what you're listening to now, Just Tactics, where I carve out the part of the interview where I ask each guest how they think I should go about my entry into the game industry as I start from zero. And these interviews will only be edited to get rid of like the minor production stuff, like little production glitches, silences, stuff like that. So for each guest, I'll release the narrative story episode and then the Just Tactics episode the following week. And if you want even more content, I'll have the full entire interview in video form on our YouTube channel a couple weeks after that. Our guests are incredibly reflective, and as I ask questions, they give these amazing insights throughout the entire time I'm interviewing them. So make sure to check that out when it becomes available. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter so you know when those or any other episodes come out at Shiba Break, because everyone deserves a break with a Shiba. By the way, we're still trying to figure out the format of the show. So please leave a review, rating, like, tweet, whatever you like to use. And let me know if you prefer these Just Tactics versions over the narrative episodes. Or if you like both, let me know. All right, so let's get to the episode. This week, we talk with Andre Cardoso. He's a game developer and content creator and runs the YouTube channel Mix and Jam. He's also a content creator at Unity Technologies. And if you want to hear his story, make sure to listen to the previous story episode. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show and found Andre's advice as valuable as I did. Thanks. What I like to do is talk about tactics. Let's talk about if someone were to start their game dev journey. First and foremost, I want to make sure we clarify, do you see yourself as one, a game developer first or a content creator first, or is it a mix between the two?
I think in general, I see myself as a game developer first. I think at the current state I live in, I am definitely more of a game content developer, content creator for sure. But what really makes me excited and happy throughout the day is like prototyping these mechanics and making things work and cracking my head and screwing up and sharing it all is like amazing. It's perfect. And it's very much the vibe which I am right now. But if I were to bet something like basically like before I created content, I had to be something before. So that's why I see myself first as a game developer, because that passion is so strong. And that's the only reason why I create content for it, is just because first and foremost, I'm thinking about development.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. All right, great. So now I'm like in your head a little bit now. So we talked about this when we connected earlier. Describe a moment where you realized that like that game dev shouldn't be an individual journey, right? It's a journey where there's a lot of people that have come before you. So just describe like what brought you to that guiding principle?
Yeah. As soon as I crossed the barrier of the difficulty of realizing that game dev is actually possible and somehow, as soon as I crossed that, I realized that I did not want to keep that knowledge to myself. And this was just particularly first on my side, like on my head. And then, of course, when you put that in your head, you start reading and just consuming things that are similar. And so I started being part of Twitter and Reddit, and you see all these people doing like amazing things to share knowledge, even if it is code-wise or not, like simple things like video essays, simple things in very codes, like in communication, like video essays from Mark Brown, right? Of course, it's like his job and his entertainment, he's doing it, but like he's gathering, he's making research and he's learning about all these game design elements, and he's making like these extra polished videos and putting it out there. And then you see, like, when I was learning Unity, more than the proper documentation itself, I would learn more from like Brackies and from other channels that are making tutorials. I already had the mentality, hey, I want to share what I know with my friends or who's close to me. And then I would see people doing that in a global scale. Like, they're sharing. It's, yeah, it's their job. Yeah, it's what they do, is how they do a living, but they're still sharing. I mean, from in the back, in the philosophy, in the core of it is like sharing. Because you could just not share, I don't know, like just do something else. And then, yeah, I guess that's when I like realized how cool it was, when I was just part of Twitter and Reddit and YouTube and seeing like how resourceful people are. And I think, yeah, and I think I am inspired by all these great people.
Yeah. Awesome. So let me just go ahead and ask the next one then. While you have that guiding principle within that mindset that you have, right? If I wanted to be a content creator, start tomorrow, like I want to not just a content creator, but be a game dev too. Like I want to make sure I'm doing something similar to you. And if I start tomorrow, right? Say tomorrow I give up on the podcast and I'm just want to go ahead and I want to get back into my game dev journey, because that's actually, I forgot to mention to you, that's actually something that I was doing too. And you're actually in one of my like little, I wrote about you in a little like blurb something, but
okay.
If I wanted to go ahead and start my game dev journey, starting from scratch, from zero again, and be a content creator, right? Now that I understand that this is not an individual journey, like what should be the first steps I should take?
I think if you're trying to be a content creator, I think I had a teacher in my Brazilian university that used to tell us that we don't understand our concepts as much as we think we do. So, oh, I'm going to make this video. I know exactly how it's going to be structured. Like it's here. That's not how it works, because as soon as you even write things down on a paper, you notice that some systems have to be created in order to transmit some sort of information. And so if you want to make like content, just try to start making it. Planning, of course, is extremely important to like how things are made, but just open a Premiere, an iMovie project or whatever, and just do one. And I honestly was not like this. I don't think I am till this day, but I always try to remember of this, my first friend that said, just post it. I don't know, just do it. So doesn't matter if your microphone is not great. Of course, that counts into the quality, but you will learn those things. And even if you're found it afterwards, like Patreon-wise, you will have resources to buy these things. I don't know, like something like that. And for game development specifically is like right now is the best time to learn, right? Compared to, I don't know how long ago, I'm also part of this generation was like, it's easy to learn online. And very quotes on easy, because I feel like the big important step for game dev, I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's hard. I think the part which is like complicated is that barrier. When I did not know anything about game development, I would look into a game, into my TV screen, and think, I don't even know how to get started with this. This is something for like straight up like gods, something like that. And I think if you consume a lot of content that are behind the scenes, right? Even from Mark Brown, honestly, that I was mentioning before, like it's a little bit of background, right? It's a little bit of like how things are made, or even like the Boundary Break YouTube channel, where like they take the camera and they go inside games and you see that developers are doing like these like janky, like Frankenstein things to make things work, but they work. And somehow that can inspire you. And I guess the last thing, right? If that helps you break your barrier and you like found motivation to buy a course, right? Or follow a tutorial completely, then what I would say next is something my teacher from the exchange program said to me. And he did like a slide. He said this to all the students. And we thought this is going to be this big ass slide about like how game design and game development. And the first slide was like, do you want to make good games? And the second slide was, make games every day.
Hmm.
And then he ended up. And then the rest of the class was just a conversation. Like the big ass slide that everyone thought it was going to be. It was just like, hey, you want to be a good game developer? Just make games every day. And what he meant by that is, let's not make full-fledged games every day. He meant try to make things every day. Not every day, of course, but like, why? But then again, let's deconstruct that. Why? Because you will fail so much and you will learn so much and you will like start knowing things that you like that were not part of your language and now it is, right? I had no idea like how to explicitly explain what is a shader, what is a script, what is a ambient occlusion, right? But the more you get in touch with these things and the more you fail. And that's why I think game jams are like the key for anyone who wants to work with games in any aspect, code, audio, whatever. Because in game jams, you have that short burst experience of everything that the industry has in a weekend, more simplified and not doesn't have the consequences maybe that the industry might have of like failing and stuff if you're actually working on it. But it's almost like an internship, right? An intensive weekend internship. Sure. And so, yeah, go to game jams. Like, honestly, like every game jam that you find, physical, after Corona, of course, and then online, just go to game jams because you will. And I did fail so bad. My first games, I think some games I do now suck. But I guess it's important to just always be aware that even if you go to a game jam and you feel frustrated because that happens, you go to a game jam and then in the second day you'd already notice that like it's a train wreck. Normally you would feel down and it happens. I understand that happens to me all the time, but you have to take the time and perceive it differently. It's not about the result. It's about what you're learning on the way.
Yeah. It's all about the process.
Yeah. It's all about the process and and like make games every day. And that's the thing is like recognizing and the other thing that I think it's important is record your stuff all the time. Do a big ass archive, get a website, get a server where you can like at least publish your stuff or do it on Twitter. Like it doesn't really matter where, but if you yourself can see your evolution, that it also helps mentally speaking of you see how little you grow. It always happened to me code wise, just do some code. Like when you're learning, when you're actually learning code, you already hate your code 2 weeks after because you've learned so much. You're like, whoa. And so I have repositories from my first games, but not because I had the brilliant idea to make a repository, but because my teacher was like, yeah, let's make a repository of it. And it's a brilliant idea. It's an archive. It's there. And so I can just go back there and be proud of my evolution, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really important to register in both ways. So storage wise and also video wise. That's what I mean, like for you to see, visually see. And yeah, share things in early access for sure. I think that's like important for people like that kind of thing.
Getting feedback early is critical. Not just game dev, right? It's anything you do in life. You'll be funny in the corporate world when you're building systems for companies, right? Like they're trying to drill this creative concept of fail fast, fail early. And that way you're going to be able to meet your users' needs. It's still a concept that it's hard to make sure people get behind. What qualities do I need to make sure I accentuate to make sure... Let's simplify it. What qualities do I need to make sure that I stay on the right path on this game dev journey?
I think you need to be extremely humble. I think it's easy as a game dev, designer, composer, to feel that you have a better perception of something. It's super easy to fall into that trap. Like... It's clearly that like you could say it's clear that my idea, that I understand my idea, of course, come on. And I've played, I don't know, 10,000 Zelda games. So it's clear that I know how to make a dungeon. I don't know, something like that. But it's really important to learn that you will learn every day. So you have to put your head the same level as everyone, honestly, because if you're humble from the get-go, people will be willing to help you. You will be willing to help people. And honestly, that's the way you learn, right? If someone goes to you and goes like, hey, dude, can you help me with this thing? I've seen your code. And if you're willing to share it, perfect. Because that will return to you when you're in need. And that's that. I like for Mix and Jam videos, I have a friend, Will, that he helps me all the time. And sometimes it's just a small blocker. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And then he goes and pokes me and helps me. I do the same for him if he ever needs to. And that will happen with any friend I have created on the game dev industry. It's really like simple, like just be humble, but also try to balance between the passion and the product.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's a weird phrase. Yeah. But everyone needs to understand like how to present what you do. Presentation is really key. And I'm not saying this because I always knew this. I'm saying this because I've learned this. Like, presentation is key. The way people perceive what you're doing is really key. So holding your projects as babies is totally understandable. It's something I've done for years, and I still do it. But whenever I have the chance to snap out of it, I'm like, no, it's not about that. It's just about sharing. It's about showing. And yeah. Just if you have the conditions to, I think. I don't think everyone has, so I think this is like a very specific guidance, but if you can, code every day, play games every day, deconstruct these games, just do it. If you have the condition. If you don't, then it's a different story, but hopefully it works with also the people that don't have that much time to dedicate, but they can dedicate it the right way in very quotes, because there's no such thing as the right way.
That's super valuable advice. And as you say that, I reflect back on my journey this past year. And I'm just like, yeah, there wasn't a moment where I could say, yeah, I was being humble. Like I was providing value to the community and not expect anything back in return. And yeah, and that's why I'm like, I had a few wins. Like I partnered up with someone, we made something awesome. But besides that, I wasn't humble enough. And that's why I'm not in the best spot right now. I could definitely see how being humble will help me out there.
But I think it's understandable that, because I think it's from human nature for being a little bit more thoughtful of yourself. It's normal. I do that all the time. I'm not trying to pose as like the most like, communitary beneficiary, sure. Ever. Like, hey, whenever you can think of like why people will appreciate your work or help you, mostly is because you're a nice person. Like you're just chill, right? Think about it. Like I've been in so many situations, like professionally wise, where I work with someone, not because of a weird conversation we have. We're like, hey, I sent you this email. Like maybe we should work together. It's just we're hanging out and like, you're cool. And then they're like, you're cool. Like we should make something. I'm like, yeah. And I believe most of things that happen really in the game industry, like collaborations or whatever, people are just like that. They're like, you're cool. You're cool? Cool. You want to do something? Boop, 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 and then do. This is just really important to just be. It's really about horizontally. Like, it's not even about like, oh my God, let's think about everyone else. It's more of never putting yourself above. Because again, it's normal that you like think about your future and your, it's just life. But at the same time, like if you never put yourself above, like you can still care about yourself, but never, you're never like, oh my God, you're the best.
Yeah.
It's everyone's the same. So
awesome. Ah, great. Yeah. No, that's some great insight there for sure. Let me actually, this is my last question, I promise. Just an experimental question. I already brought this up. What do you think when you hear the word passion? Like what comes to your mind? And do you think you're living your passion?
When I think passion, I think of something that like brings me into the state of flow. And the state of flow meaning that like I lose track of time completely because I'm like doing something that is engaging enough and challenging enough that will bring me into the state of almost like meditation of I did not think of anything else. And that can be seen in many aspects of it. And it doesn't need to be in game development. That happens. So sometimes I'm like cranking up a mix and jam prototype and there's some Spotify music playing. And I feel like those elements are in like when there's like this thing that's challenging, but not enough. And then I'm just like, boom, I'm just like in this state of mind where I'm like zoning out. And then this amazing like moment where I'm not thinking, I'm just like developing this thing and it feels good. But that also applies to like playing games and playing things that other people did, like the amazing people doing stuff. So that's really like something. And it also just applies to like doing things with passion in general. So I'm a person that I like to be like, in terms of mood, really passionate about like friendship. When I meet people, I like to be excited. I like to be like happy about meeting new people. And that's the other side of passion, other than the side under the work, for me is like loving every aspect of what life gives you, right? Like life is giving me specific things and I try to like be passionate about it. So that's very, and again, that's me, right? That's very specific, because I know people that are like a little bit more introvert or shy, or they're not necessarily like the fact to like meet people or whatever. But I fucking love to like, honestly, whenever I meet someone that's like similar to me in the mindset where like, it's just a cool person, just like, whoa, just like crazy, like hyperactive, talking about whatever they love, movies, music, stuff. That's like the boom key. That's like, wow, you know, that's amazing. And I have the chance to do that. And that's really like, I have passion for like life. It's really trippy. Yeah.
Thanks for answering that. I know it's a question that's asked a lot, I think, still, but it's also something I'm trying to redefine my definition of passion, right? Like, I'm starting to realize like passion might be over romanticized, but I'm just trying to.
Maybe. It's just a feeling, honestly. It's just, again, like there shouldn't be a description for passion, really. It's like whatever makes your gears run as fast as it can. There's something that really hits you, and that can be in many aspects, honestly. Like, I know some people that like, whenever they listen to music, they're like, that's what gets their gear moving. And some people like are so passionate about music that like, that happens sometimes when you want to go to a concert and you start thinking about your finances, and then you're like, oh, and I would say that's a good definition of conflict of passion, because sometimes you're like finance, lifestyle, you're like, oh, I really want to go to this concert. And I've met so many people that had some like financial, not stable, like whatever situation, but they just want to go so bad and they just fucking do it. And I think it's a privilege to do the thing you want to do. It is a privilege. It's important to state it, but I guess that's passion, is like having the ability to like figuring out, like, I fucking love this. Like, why am I? Oh, there you go. You know what? Just to like wrap this up in a perfect way. When I was in college, actually, even though my dad was very supportive of, yeah, just do whatever you want, do it the best way you want, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be like stable.
Yeah.
Getting money and like working on games in Brazil and Recife specifically. So I'm not sure. And so it's like trying to look at these other areas of design. It's like graphic design or maybe product design or these things. And I was like doing some courses, like designing chairs and stuff and whatever. And I was like, who am I trying to lie to? And I realized at this point, I was like, I don't know. Like, I might fail everything, but I honestly just want to like not do this. I just want to work with games somehow. Some way, programming, art, whatever comes. And that for me was like passion, because I had the ability to just be like, no, I just want to do something, you know, this thing that fills me. And like we started this conversation, games is like this fuel of all these entertainment medias all together. And when I play some games, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. And
that kind of stuff.
And you really made it work if you didn't have that thought of.
Yeah. Super lucky, and also, but also like grateful for everything that happened.
You had to take that step, that decision to say, you know, this isn't what I want to do. And it is super awesome that we live in an age where the internet really empowers us to do these kind of things. And I mean, it's not just the internet. I mean, it enables us for sure, but it's really our
knowledge. Yeah.
It's the decisions that we make to move forward. Yeah.
Totally.
Awesome. Totally. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, man. Like, I thought this conversation was going to be about resourcefulness and being scrappy. And that's kind of how I originally prepared for this conversation. But really, it's a conversation about just doing it. Just make a decision and go.
Just life.
Yeah. It's just like life in general, right? Yeah.
It is. Game dev is just a form of activity that we, you know, humans do to like give meaning to life. So, you know. It's really just about life.
For sure. Awesome, man. Thanks. Like, I won't bug you anymore. You gave me almost two and a half hours. I really appreciate it. I should just start telling people we need to talk for 2 hours. like I keep telling everyone 60 minutes, but it's not happening.
No, you got me in a good day.
Okay, so awesome. I'm so glad. First of all, thank you so much for responding back to a nobody like me. I really appreciate that.
No worries.
Yeah, this is... This is a great conversation because like I've watched your content since the beginning. And so, and I mentioned like I started doing some game dev stuff, and I, you know, you were a huge part of my, I guess, my hypothesis that to be successful, there's people like Mix and Jam who create content, who learn, who share and document, and anyone can do that. Maybe not as well as you, but anyone has that capacity to start and build an audience and stuff. This was a great, like, mind-blowing conversation for me, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear. I was having a lot of fun.
All right, great. I did too. Just some housekeeping. All right. Well, that's it for this week's Just Tactics. Again, if you want to hear more from Andre, make sure to follow us and check out our YouTube channel when the full video version of this interview is released. There's even more valuable information that Andre gives me there as well. And I also have short video snippets of some of that advice. So make sure to check it out. And in case you skipped it, I tell Andre's story in the first episode. Make sure to check that out as well if you haven't already. This is Life in Games, the show where I share the journeys of amazing people who have found their own homes in gaming. And maybe one day, both you and I can do it too. This episode was produced and edited by me, Andy Reinhold. Thank you, Andre, for sharing your story. Special thanks to my wife for waking me up when my alarm didn't go off. In our next story, I learn how to be a Pokemon master. That's coming up next week on whatever platform you're listening to. Follow Andre on his YouTube channel, Mix and Jam, or on Twitter at Andre_MC. And if you like the show, please follow us here and give us a rating or a like on whatever platform you're listening on. You can also follow the show on Twitter to stay up to date with the latest announcements at Shiba Break, because everyone deserves a break with a Shiba. Thanks for listening. See you soon.